morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
Lots of discussion in the aftermath of that OHA letter, yeah?
And a whole lot more to come, but it is our first conversation this morning. You'll remember that a week ago we learned of the letter sent by OHA CEO Kamanaʻopono Crabb to Secretary of State John Kerry asking whether the Hawaiian Kingdom exists and is subject to international law. If so, the request for inquiry ended with another question. Were there legal and criminal implications for the Native Hawaiian Roll Commission and the OHA trustees and staff? The letter sparked accusations and counter-accusations within OHA, a letter rescinding the original letter, then several trustees who rescinded their support for that second letter. Last night, the trustees met on Maui, and the split of opinion in and outside of OHA continues. UH School of Hawaiian Language, Hawaiian Knowledge and Law School professor Kamana Beamer joins us now with his assessment of the situation. Good morning, and thank you for making time for us today.
Aloha. Great to be with you folks, and thank you for teeing up this very important conversation for what's going on in Hawaii today.
Well, you know, those progressive questions of Dr. Crabb's letter led to that question of legality and possible criminality for the Hawaiian roll call. Should this have been asked earlier, before the roll call campaign?
You know, this is a powerful question to really give clarity in terms of what the true political history of Hawaii is in the past and how it can lead us towards the future. I do think that, you know, had these questions been addressed in the upfront, they would have been unifying and enabled people to move forward with clarity and direction.
And perhaps been even more powerful?
Perhaps it would have. You know, these questions really originated from a process that OHA took to step back. You know, the trustees did a remarkable thing, which was to adopt a policy that said they were going to facilitate the conversation around governance. This was a movement that OHA never had really entered into in the past. Previously, they were strong advocates for federal recognition. But when they adopted this policy of facilitation, many people came into the conversation that began to ask some of these questions that really are founded in cutting-edge research that's been coming out of the University of Hawaii over the last 8 to 10 years.
Dr. Crabb's letter made some people uncomfortable. Did he make the right people uncomfortable?
You know, I think he did. You know, the truth is what will liberate us. And so we need to be able to ask questions in order to guide where we move forward in our future. And Hawaii's political history is complex. You know, all of us love and aloha this beautiful place. It's an amazing place to be. And at the same time, we have a history of injustice that needs to be recognized and needs to come to the forefront for the betterment, really, of all of Hawaii.
We're not exactly at that solution point, but asking those questions and seeing what options and what legalities are involved in all of this seems to be where the push is now, as you've just mentioned. Was this also a really good move of strategy to bring this back into the consciousness of the U.S. State Department?
You know, I think what Dr. Crabb was doing was conducting his fiduciary duty. What really facilitated this was a presentation that took place at the Richardson Law School, in which you had Dr. Keanu Sai, Professor Williamson Chang, as well as former Governor John Waihe'e. And, you know, even at that particular presentation, Governor John Waihe'e, I'm summarizing it, but he basically said you'd have to be illiterate not to realize that Hawaii is occupied. And so Dr. Crabb, I think, upon hearing this and these allegations, thought that he needed to get clarity from the U.S. State Department if, in fact, Hawaii is occupied under international law. And what would the ramifications look like for someone that's in his position today? And I really think that's all he's seeking to do.
By the very nature of it, though, it has brought it back into the consciousness of a lot of us, and certainly given some of what we saw come out of Washington and the way it was covered, it didn't go unnoticed. That seems to be a good thing.
I think it's important. I think it's important. Look, America, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, we have this deep, dark place of injustice here in Hawaii, and our relationship with America has been strained. You know, President Cleveland as well as President Clinton admitted the overthrow of the Hawaiian Kingdom was illegal. And I hope that, you know, people aren't so numb and so subdued that we can't really talk about what justice for Hawaii looks like today. And how do we move forward?
So how do we move forward from this step when it seems to be there's a split within OHA itself and outside of it, and people having great support for the letter that Dr. Crabb wrote, and others who are still wondering if this was the best move?
You know, I think this is a good thing that's happening. We've brought people to the conversation that really haven't been taken part in this conversation and possibly have been kind of ignored for a period of time.
Who would that be?
You know, groups that are looking at Hawaii's status under international law. I mean, given that OHA had a previous position of really advocating for federal recognition, I think there was an unwillingness to address some of these questions. So I think it's important, and moving forward, I mean, what you witnessed, you know, last night on Maui was staunch support for Dr. Kamanaʻopuna Crabb and his courageous leadership in just asking some questions that are important for the future of Hawaii, and I think it's going to galvanize support, and we're going to see people come together for justice with Aloha for Hawaii.
As you assess this situation, what would you like to see happen as the next step?
You know, I'd like to see the trustees get those questions answered by the State Department. I think they're critical and important towards making decisions and how we move forward in Hawaii today. I'd like to ask, you know, everyone in Hawaii to take a step back and think about your love for this place, your love for Hawaiian music, the songs you sang in school, and think about what you can do for justice for Hawaii, because it's important, it's critical. We're facing, you know, changes in climate, natural resources, and these issues about justice are imperative for us to move forward together.
That's a very big shopping list. But is there something in particular that you'd like to see people focus on in a way that they haven't before, given what we've seen over this last week?
Sure. You know, there's a petition that emerged. It's called He Mana Opono. In as little as a week, we have over 2,300 signatures. If you're in support of justice for Hawaii, it would be fantastic to place your name on this petition. We have people that have signed on from at least 19 different countries, as well as numerous Hawaii residents, both ethnically Hawaiian and not. And that's one important step, is just to, you know, bring this conversation to the forefront.
And do you think that will make a difference to the State Department?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to leave it there on that hopeful note. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Aloha.
Aloha. Dr. Kamana Beamer is an assistant professor in the Hui Aina Momona program, split between the UH Schools of Hawaiian Knowledge and Law. His research focuses on indigenous agency, Native Hawaiian land tenure, and the land and resource law of the Hawaiian Kingdom.